girl, welcome to the Empower Her podcast, where we are all about taking purpose-driven action toward building lives we really freaking love. My name's Keisha, and I'm an entrepreneur obsessed with giving you actual tools to help take you from where you are now to where you want to go in your life, career, and relationships. And this podcast, it's all about real talk and having some fun as we share incredible stories, tips, and tricks to help us get out of our own way and unapologetically make some moves. So girlfriend, let's do the damn thing. What's up, girl? I'm so excited that you're here for today's episode because I want to talk about a topic that I feel is so freaking important, which is people-pleasing tendencies. And please note that I didn't say we're going to talk about people-pleasers. I do not believe in the word people-pleaser or the title people-pleaser because that implies it's a conditional statement, like you can't change it. But when we say people-pleasing tendencies, it proves to us that we do have the ability to change it because it's a tendency that we can work on. And this topic is so important, especially if you catch yourself feeling reluctant to share your wins, because I think under that is some people-pleasing tendencies. Or if you feel like you're constantly adding a disclaimer to your success, there's some people-pleasing tendencies under there. Or if you're dimming your light when you're in certain groups of people, or because you feel guilty, like you don't want to outshine someone, under that, people-pleasing tendencies. But often we don't identify them that way. And it's interesting because I've been thinking a lot about this. I've noticed my own people-pleasing tendencies when I wouldn't have identified as someone who had people-pleasing tendencies previously, but in this new stage of wanting to be this fully expressed version of myself, especially now as a mom. At the time that I'm recording this, our son Brody is going to be 4 months old. He's our first little baby, and I know that I want him to be a fully expressed version of himself. So it's really important to me that although he obviously doesn't know what's going on yet because he's only 4 months old, that I show up as a fully expressed version of me, which means I have to notice when people-pleasing tendencies are holding me back in any capacity because I really want to crank up the volume on just being more myself and this like unapologetic version of myself. So first, let's get on the same page here because I've been thinking a lot about where this comes from and why as a culture, in particular women, we're so worried about what people think about us in general. And for some people, I think a lot of us, the underlying people-pleasing tendencies come from how we're socialized from like little girls. Like from a young age, we're told to be nice girls. And like we want to make other people feel good. Like, oh, go give that person a hug or go do this, right? And we then feel more valuable if we're in service to other people, or we feel like we're going to be more accepted if other people like us, which gives us this safety, security, this very primal need that we have to want to belong. And, you know, psychologists talk about this in a way where like somehow in your childhood or your early developmental years, people who identify as having people-pleasing tendencies, you can make this connection that somewhere along the way, maybe you can even think of a specific time or a specific age, you made this connection, whether it was conscious or not at the time, that if you did what other people wanted you to do, or you act in accordance to their standards, that they're going to like you or they're going to love you. And obviously, children need to be parented, right? There's certain standards and there's certain criteria for like how we want to show up. We don't want kids like going to the restaurant and like throwing knives across the room. Like I'm not saying that parents can't parent, but I do think there's this really interesting like issue that we're dealing with as grown women now, that the fact that we were socialized to act a certain way and now we're trying to be more fully expressed versions of ourselves. And sometimes if you believe that if you aren't living in accordance to somebody else's standards, conscious or not, and that if you don't do that, they won't like you at all, if you don't do what they deem acceptable, that can have you holding yourself back in so many different aspects of your life because you're just scared to let other people down. So that might have you saying yes to doing things that you want to do, like maybe a career that you know you don't want to have, right? Or staying in a relationship that you know that you don't want to be in because somebody else is telling you that you should be married by XYZ age, or you should be having kids by a certain time, or you should be having kids at all, or you should be living in a certain area because you want them to like you. So you're afraid to do the thing that you want to do or leave things that no longer feel aligned for you because you're scared out of primal nature that if you don't do this and make them happy, that you're not going to be loved. And as humans, we want to be loved.
this makes sense, right? And this comes up a lot, I think, in rooms where we want validation. And it's interesting because I'm part of this mastermind this year, and I was just with, you know, 20 something entrepreneurs, the majority of which are seven figure entrepreneurs and moms. And there were so many of them that were reluctant to share their wins, even at the success that they're like the level of success that they're at in terms of how they're showing up in their business or whatever. Like, they're still afraid to share their business wins. And I think it's because we want this validation. We don't want to come off like we're bragging because we have this story in our head, potentially from our childhood, that's like, if we come off that way, then we're not likable, or we're not lovable, or we're not going to be in the community. We're going to get kicked out. We're going to be isolated. We're going to be ostracized. It's very primal. It's often not even conscious. And this comes up so often. Like, I literally was getting a DM, like back and forth conversation this morning with this woman who was telling me, like, with her peer group, it's her friends from high school that she's still friends with. And she feels like she's the most ambitious one of her friends group, like business-wise. And this comes up often when we want to dim our light because we're afraid of people not liking us. And this happens when we see success in something beyond what we're used to or what our peer group is seeing. Like, maybe you are more fit than the rest of your girlfriends, or maybe you have a better marriage than the rest of your girlfriends, or you've got more money, or you are in a certain, like, I don't know, title in your career, or you have a certain level of success in your business. And some of those people that you're around, you want them to like you, but they're not seeing the results that you're seeing. And then you're scared that they might not like you if you're different, or if you're seeing more success. So you downplay it. So you add disclaimers to your success. So you dim your light. And it makes sense fundamentally because it's human nature. We want to belong. We want to be in community. We want people to like us. We don't want to be different because we fear being alone. And that primal part of our brain doesn't want to get kicked out of the tribe. But that belief pattern is not helpful. It's holding us back from living up to our potential, but also just living a life that feels aligned, sharing our gifts with the world, and being an example to other people of what's possible for them too. Because your life and how you choose to show up to it is a living, breathing proof of what's possible for other people. And especially if you are a parent or you are influencing the next generation. Like, I think about this often. Even now when Brody's only 4 months old, I'm like, I want to be this fully expressed version of me. I want to keep getting better. And honestly, I like the version of me now as a mom more than I like the version of me before I became a mom, because I'm just peeling back layers more and more and showing up more authentically than I ever have. And I'm not as fearful of not being liked.
I hope you're loving today's episode. I wanted to pop in here real quick and thank our sponsor of today's podcast, my favorite non-toxic, anti-aging, anti-acne, no hormone disruptors skincare line that actually freaking works. I've literally been using ClearStem for over 5 years. One of my best friends is actually the co-founder. And you know, like, if one of your best friends does something, like, you want to be super supportive, but you're like kind of nervous, like, what if I don't actually like it? So 5.5 years ago, I tried the skincare line and I was like, holy crap, I'm obsessed. So now both my husband and I have literally been using the skincare line for over 5.5 years. And why I love it is because it's non-toxic. Right? And there's so much crap in our skincare and in our products. And I wanted something that I really loved that worked really well. And I have just been such a diehard ClearStem fan for so long that I decided to bring them on as a sponsor of this podcast. So what's really cool is you can head to clearstemskincare.com and use code Keisha, or you can check the link in the show notes. And it's going to get you a sweet discount on all products, but they're really big on education as well. And figuring out, like, what's the root cause of any of your skin issues. But also, even if you don't have major skin issues, which I actually personally don't, it's been really helpful to just keep my skin feeling really good. I love their face wash and their scrub. I love their bounce back serum. They also have a bunch of other serums depending upon what your skin issues are. And the thing that I also am obsessed with, if you're looking for a new moisturizer, their Hydra Berry moisturizer. You put it on at night and sleep in it, and your skin will wake up feeling like a baby's butt. And right now, in this current era of new mom life, I love putting it on. And although I'm only sleeping in like 2 hour chunks, it's so nice because I'm like, oh, my skin at least feels really fresh and good and super moisturized. So anyways, if you head to clearstemskincare.com, make sure you use code Keisha. That'll get you a sweet discount on all products. If you have any questions, of course, DM me, shoot me a text. I love talking about these products and hearing how so many of you are obsessed with them now too. So check them out. And without further ado, let's dive back into the show.
And it's interesting because I probably wouldn't have identified as having these people-pleasing tendencies, but I've noticed as the community around this podcast has grown that I'm really aware of episode topics and things that I can talk about that will get more shareability, right? Like meaning more people will take it on Instagram or I get more DMs or people will say that it resonated if I talk about certain topics. But sometimes if I talk about things that are a little bit more polarizing or if I share about mom life and there are some women in this community that don't ever want to be moms or they're on their journey to becoming moms. So like it just doesn't resonate with them yet, right? That might make them feel discluded. Or if I'm talking about being an entrepreneur, something that I love and I'm so passionate about, even more passionate about now as a mom than I was before a mom, because I'm seeing the fact that me having the ability to build my own hours is giving me more optionality to be present with our son. And I'm just so grateful for it, right? So I want to talk about it more unapologetically. There's still something in the back of my head that I have to catch in real time that's saying, oh, but if you talk about this, it might make other people feel discluded. But it's not my job to be more likable. It's my job to be more myself and trust that the right people will gravitate and the wrong people will exit the building. And that's okay. And I want to talk about this and I want to share about this in a really honest, raw way, because I hope that I can be the permission slip that you'll one day, or maybe even today, be able to give to yourself to step up and be more unapologetic too. Especially if you're overly worried about what other people think of you and it's holding you back from doing the things that you know you feel called to do, or this belief that other people have to like you or be proud of you in order for you to feel worthy of happiness or fulfillment or income or love or success or whatever it might be in your life, that literally is going to stop you from building a life that you love. And I don't want you to get to the end with coulda, woulda, shouldas because you played the whole game of life by somebody else's criteria. And I could rant all day long about this, but when I think about this and I'm like, how do we actually work through these people-pleasing tendencies? Well, first, I think we have to recognize that it's a problem, right? And even if we don't identify it as being people-pleasing tendencies, it's important that we all kind of just get on the same page that we can say all day long that we're not people-pleasing tendency type people, but we've got it in us, right? Some of it is just how we're socialized. So one thing that's been helpful for me to really navigate this is a quote by John C. Maxwell. I've shared this on the podcast before, but he says, success to me is when the people who know me the best love me the most. And when I think about that, success to me is when people that love me the best know me the best, love me the most. I think about how sometimes we will associate that with people that have long tenures of relationship with us, right? Just because you've been friends with someone for 25 years does not mean that they know you the best. They might have known you the longest of all of your girlfriends, but do they know this version of you? Do they know this side of you that cares about, I don't know, crystals, or the side of you that loves entrepreneurship, or the side of you that thinks different politically, or the side of you that's really wanting to make a ton of income and change the trajectory of your family's lineage? And I mean, whatever it is that you're doing, do they know you the best? Because we sometimes do that even with relationships, like based off of tenure, but we do it with relationships based off of title. For example, mom and dad. I will tell you, my mom and I are super close. I would count her as one of the people that knows me the best to my core, understands my essence, is so supportive of me, like just wants me to like take it to the next level in every aspect of my life. Like she knows, like we're different and we're similar in a lot of ways, but she really knows me. So success to me is when people that know me the best, like my mom, do love me the most, not just because she's my mom, but like she knows that I'm living this full expressed version of me. My dad and I are close too, but my dad doesn't know me the way that my mom knows me, right? It's just a little bit different. And so I think when we like put this expectation on ourselves that because somebody knows us based off of title or based off of tenure, and we start to live in accordance with their definition of success because we want them to like us, that can feel problematic, right? So I just have to be really cautious to not ever get too high on anybody else's opinion or too low on anybody else's opinion. Because especially if it's someone that doesn't know me that well, it is really easy to get caught up in what do your coworkers think about you? But do they really know you the best, right? Because maybe they know you in some capacity, but do they know you the best? Do they know you like your significant other knows you, like your best friend, like your sister, like someone that you talk to every day, right? And when you think of people that know you the best, loving you the most, I hope you think of yourself, right? Because you're the only person you're going to spend every single second with every single day for the rest of your life. And success on a big level to me is when the person that I am by myself, I love. Because I am guaranteed to spend every second of every day with myself. I want to love me the most because I know me the best. I know me better than anybody on the planet. So that is success too, right? But if we catch ourselves getting too high or too low on other people's opinions that don't really know us that well, it can be problematic because then we're living in accordance to their definition of what success is, right? We're so concerned about what they think about us, or if it's a friend group and we're not wanting to like unapologetically share our wins, or we feel like we're adding a disclaimer to our success, right? Or we're dimming our light because we feel like we're going to leave them quote unquote behind. They have free will too. They have the choice of what they want to do in their life. And maybe you showing up and being unapologetic about chasing your dreams or moving to that city that feels aligned for you or getting out of that relationship that you know is not serving you or finally prioritizing your mental health or your physical health or whatever that looks like, even if other people don't get it, even if other people don't want to come along with you, maybe you are quote unquote leaving them behind, but it's a choice that they're making. Maybe you'll inspire them to take action in their life. Maybe you'll become aspirational to them. And at the end of the day, to keep that gut check that people-pleasing tendencies aren't running the show of your life, remind yourself that success is when people that know you the best love you the most, and the person that knows you the best more than anybody else on the planet is yourself. You know yourself. Deep down, you've got a feeling of what you're capable of. And if it bugs you that you're not living up to your potential, that you don't have that exceptional marriage that you're craving, those female friendships that you want, the community that you want to build, the business that you want to build, the career that you want to live in, a place that you're excited about, if you don't have that yet, but you have this like tug on your gut, let's start to recognize that those people-pleasing tendencies have got to get pushed to the side, right? We're always going to have to battle through them, I think, honestly, because it's very primal to want to belong. But I just don't want you to live with regret. I don't want you to get to the end and realize that you didn't even do the things that you wanted to do because you were so worried about people, maybe even people that don't know you that well. Sally Sue 293 that you're connected with on Instagram that you met in third grade, like she doesn't know you the best. Don't worry about what she thinks. You go live your best life. And no, you don't need to beat yourself up about having people-pleasing tendencies. I have it too. We're all going to be working through this, but we've got to raise the necessity to show up and be more unapologetic versions of ourselves because the world needs it and because you deserve it. You've got one shot here, girl. Let's make it count. I love you. I'm rooting for you. And I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much for listening in. If you love this episode, it would mean so much to me if you shared it with a girlfriend. Like, send it to her right now or post it on social media and tag me so I can personally thank you for helping me get the message out. I am so freaking grateful to be on this journey with you, girl. So until next time, I'll talk to you soon.